Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 through 21. I've titled it, this message, Christ, Our Ark. Three arks are mentioned in the scriptures. All three were places of refuge and means of salvation in one way or the other. And all of these arks are a picture of grace, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of those that study Old Testament pictures and shadows and types are very familiar with this ark we're going to talk about this morning, Noah's Ark, and know that it is indeed a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation in Him in many ways. But always remember this, a picture or a shadow or a type is just that. And we must always stop where the scriptures stop. And not in every respect are these perfectly formed pictures. In other words, they're not perfect because they're not the actual thing. Christ is, you look at Him and there you'll see the perfect, not a picture. You know, you look at a picture of someone that you love, and that's a joy. You know, sometimes you get the photo album out and you look the pictures of your children when they were small and the times you got together and had photographs made and you reminisce. But there's just something different about that and when it really happened. And when you're really looking at them in their face and see them, that's the real. Others are just pictures. They have their purpose. And the ark in the Old Testament scriptures, like I said, there's three arks. The first ark, or one of the arks, is of course this ark we're looking at today, but another is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant sheltered the two tablets of stone upon which the law of God was written. And there in that ark, under the mercy seat, were found the law that demanded death. The law always demands death because all have sinned. And so the law says that if you sin, you die. And that's not been repealed or it's not been amended. It's still the same. What God says is so, it's true, and it's everlasting. But also in that ark was the manna that gave life, the food that gave life. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is that food. The law is broken, but the food that gives life, we died under the law, but the food that was given is life-giving. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rod of power was also found in that ark. And that led and protected Israel of old. And God's word, His power, His omnipotence, all that He is, guards and protects His people. Even before we converted, to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and after we're converted, to reveal His glory in us, and at last that glory shall be revealed in eternal bliss with Him. And then there's the ark of bulrushes. Remember, Moses' mother put him in a basket, which was an ark. Kept him, preserved him. Protected God's chosen one, Moses, from the wrath and murder of the wicked ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh. But this morning I want us to talk about the ark of Noah. And you have our text this morning. We'll read it. I want to read verse 13 through the rest of the chapter. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. I'm going to destroy everything, for the earth is filled with violence through them, through these people that dwell on the earth. Every thought of the imagination of the heart is on evil continually. There is no thought that is righteous. There is no thought with faith toward me. There is no thought of my glory or who I am. not in all of men's thoughts. And he said, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Some think this is a cypress tree that grew in that part of the country at that time. It's not really known what gopher wood is, except it alludes to a type of material that is not easily burned or not easily deteriorated with the elements, with weather. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. Make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, and the lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. He makes it very plain here that this is something he's going to do. He said, I, even I, will bring a flood of waters. I will destroy man, which I have made, to destroy all flesh, wherein there is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wife with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls of their kind, the cattle of their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto me, come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food to thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. This morning I want to talk to you about the ark, specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not just dwell on the ark as a boat, but try to retain this thought that the ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed Christ himself. And you have the text this morning, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. This was, he didn't ask Noah, do you want to come into the ark? He said, thou shalt come into the ark. This is what you will do. I will bring you into the ark. God sought out Noah, and he brought him into the ark. He placed him in the ark. And Noah and his family were saved in the flood by a ship, an ark, which God commanded him to build. Now think of this. There was one ark. There was one door. There was one window. There was only one. And I want to show you how that Noah's ark was a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and our salvation in him by the grace of God. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one in whom there is salvation. That's simple, isn't it? These children can understand this if God would give them grace to listen. You and I can understand this. There's only one person in whom there is salvation, and that's Christ. There's only one way to God, to be justified by God, to be accepted by God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not who we are. It's not our church membership. It's not our baptism. It's not the sacraments. It's not the ordinances. It's none of these things. The salvation of sinners is only to be found in one place. That is Jesus Christ. If you're not found in him, you'll perish. That is a fact. Now, men can think whatever they want to think. They can trust whatever they want to trust. But this is a fact. This is truth. This is how it will work out. Everybody's saying, I hope it works out all right. This is how it will work out. If you're in Christ, you're safe. If you're outside of Christ, you'll perish. Now, what I want to occupy the rest of my life with, and what I want you to occupy the rest of your life with, is seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these other things that we esteem of so much importance, they're not really that important. Life doesn't consist of these things. Life consists of knowing Christ, eternal life. There are many things we must do to maintain our existence, but this is not what we must live for. We must live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that in a light sense, and like you must be out doing something all the time. I'm saying a person's life consists, if we really have life, it consists of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these other things are things. Now there's before I begin the message this morning, there's three things I want to remind myself of and you as well. That we are mortal. M-O-R-T-A-L. We are mortal. We will, in a matter of a few days, face God Almighty. And I know men joke of death. They take it lightly. Think of it as something way out in the future. But it's a reality. It's more certain than life. Physical life. And I know this. I know it's a fact of life. But this is one fact of life that we don't just say, well, it's just a fact of life. No big deal. It is a big deal. Eternity yawns before us. And as a tree falls, so shall it lie. We have one life to live, one death to die, one God to face, and eternity to live forever somewhere. There won't be no redoing it, doing it over. Folks talk about God giving folks chances. There won't be no chances. This is it. What you have, what I have right now, this is it. Do we understand that? I don't know whether I do or not fully. Don't know if I could handle it fully or not. But this is it. Folks, this is all we've got. There's one ark. Everyone in that ark was saved. Everyone outside that ark perished. And so it is with Christ. Remember that. This is, I'm insignificant. I'm just a little Tommy Robbins. I really am. I'm not saying that. I'm perishing. I'm mortal. I'll soon be gone, soon forgotten. I'm not the issue. Christ is the issue. And if you can ever remember anything that I said after I'm gone, remember this. I told you that Christ is your only hope. Remember that. If God gives you your mind on your dying bed, you remember this. For God's sake, for your sake, for the glory of God. Don't remember me. Remember these words. Christ is your only hope. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts as in the days of provocation. It's not going to be any stars in my crown. It's not going to be any glory to me. But I feel awesome responsibility of driving home this truth that you really need to seek Christ today. There's one ark, one door, one window, and there's one message. One message. And that's the ark, Christ. There's just one message. There's not a half a dozen messages, not a half a dozen arcs, not a half a dozen doors or windows. There's just one, Christ. As there was but one ark in the days of Noah, there's but one way of salvation for poor, helpless, guilty sinners, and that's just what we are. If God's not pleased to save you, you'll perish. I'm not trying to apologize for God and say, you know, he's got to do this or that. He's passing many a one by. We sang that hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my feeble cry. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by." There's just one way for poor, we're poverty stricken, helpless, we have no strength, guilty, we're all guilty before God, we're all sinners. The whole world was drowned under the flood of God's wrath except for those wound up to be 8 happy souls in the ark. Oh, I'm sure they had to see loved ones and friends to know that they weren't on that ark. But they were right happy they were. And I hate to see my children, grandchildren, my friends, relatives perish. But I'm so happy that I have a hope. I'd like to take you all with me. But some of you won't go. More than likely. Even so, the whole world shall be destroyed in the everlasting wrath of Almighty God. We speak of His wrath, of His judgment, His justice, His condemnation. We speak of it, but know very little about it. We think when a trial comes upon us, this is God's hand of wrath, His hand of punishment. But it's not. Not necessarily. It's an experience of life. God has sent our way for some purpose. We may know, we may never know, but it'll have its effect. God will be glorified in it, and His people will be the better for it, whatever it is. But none of us knows anything concerning the wrath of a sin-avenging God. No. The eons of eternity will not pass one handbreadth. But it'll be forever and ever to suffer the wrath of God, except for those blessed men and women who are in Christ. Christ alone is the Savior of men. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other name. If you would be saved, you must come into the ark, Jesus Christ. You must come. You say, well, I want to come. Do you? If you do really want to come, you will. You will. I'll guarantee it. If you really want Christ, and you really want to come to Christ, you'll come. Because He always finishes that work He begins. And if He gave you a desire for Him, you'll come. We must be washed in His blood. We must be robed in His righteousness. All sin must be washed away in His blood. We must be clothed in His righteousness. Your righteousness and mine will not do. We'll be found outside the ark. We'll be found under the hand of God's wrath and judgment if we have only our righteousness and our goodness This is one of the hardest hurdles that man has ever leapt over, and he never will, apart from the grace of God. And that is your own filthy goodness. It's easy to acknowledge our sin. Yes, I'm not perfect. I've sinned. I've done this. I've done that. And I'm imperfect. And we could go on and on and on and easily confess all of our sins. I've done this. I've stolen. I've murdered. I've committed adultery. I've done this. I've lied. We could just go on and on. All of us could. But it's that stinking, rotten, abominable self-righteousness that God must tear out by the roots. I'm no good. Lord, you're alone. You alone are good. You're righteous. Not me. My righteousness is all of them. Our filthy rags. As filthy, stinking, rotten minstrel rags in the sight of God. We must come to Christ. Let's work this out by God's grace. Let's learn. Let's reason. Let's understand. God said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Do you want that? I want to know as much as I can. As God will give me grace to know that my sins are forgiven. That I have none, that I'm justified in His sight, that I have His righteousness, that I'm in Christ, in the ark. Don't you? God told Noah, said, build an ark. And that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? God built that ark for you and me to see Christ in it. The ark was planned, purposed, and provided by God. You see, salvation's all of the Lord. It was planned. Man's wickedness didn't sneak up on God. Neither did the provision of the ark for the salvation of Noah and his family. That wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't like as if God said, well, the earth is so wicked now, men are so wicked, I've got to find a way somehow to save Noah. This had already been planned and purposed by God. The Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's our everlasting surety. He's the surety of the everlasting covenant. You see, God is a God of purpose. He's a God of purpose. And everyone here this morning, and I know this might seem far-fetched, maybe to some, but everyone here this morning, myself included, is here on purpose. And here I am, this little 2x4 preacher. I'm telling you what God says concerning the salvation of your soul, that salvation is in Christ, Christ alone. Come to Him. The ark was an all-sufficient refuge for all who entered it. All-sufficient. Purposed by God in every aspect. And His all-sufficient refuge. I'm telling you that Christ is all-sufficient. This ark was all-sufficient. We can look at it, its inventory, its construction, everything about its endurance. What it withstood, how long it withstood. Everything about it is all sufficient for the purpose whereunto it was ordained. And Christ is all sufficient for the purpose whereunto He was ordained to come into this world. He puts away all of His people's sins. He provides a perfect, everlasting righteousness for all of His people. And He securely keeps us by the word of His power until the day of Jesus Christ. All sufficient. A positive gospel. Aren't you glad that you can hear a gospel proclaimed, that you can know of a gospel where that there is no questions, there is no maybes, there's no ifs. Everything concerning Christ is positive. In Him is life, eternal life. If you know Christ, there's no worry. Although we do sometimes, but let me tell you, there's no reason to worry or be concerned of sickness and death, because in Christ there's life everlasting. After death, there's joys forevermore in His presence. There's everything we need for time and eternity in the Lord Jesus Christ. All-sufficient Savior. He put away every one of my sin, past, present, and future. He took all of my sin in His own body and nailed it to His cross. He provided a righteousness. He lived 33 and a half years, and every step He took, every thought He thought, every deed He did was to work out a righteousness for me. And He said, "It's finished. And look at the robe that I'm adorned with." Oh, you can't see it, but it's there. I have a righteousness which I can walk into the very presence of God and really am in His presence. I come boldly to the throne of grace. I walk into His presence not proud, not gloating or glorying in the flesh, but walk into His presence with confidence because I have on the robe of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which God said, "I accept. Come on in." Ain't that something? That's something else. That's something else. Boy, I can think all of the things I've done and said and thought, and even yesterday. Oh, that would damn me for eternity. But then by God's grace, I look at that ark, and I find myself inside looking at it and saying, "Thank you. You're all my salvation. You're all my hope. Even though my house be not so with God, You've made with me an everlasting covenant in all things, ordered and sure, all sufficient." Noah and his family came into the ark by divine invitation. And divine invitation is irresistible. When I say invitation, sometimes when preachers say invitation, as much as we've heard the gospel, we think, "Oh, that's weak." No, when God invites you, ain't nothing weak about that. When He says, "Come," you say, "Lord, I'm coming." When He went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." Boy, there's a miracle happened, wasn't it? When He come to me and said, "Come forth," that was a miracle. This dead, God-hating rebel, saturated with religion, self-righteousness and pride. "Can I come?" He said, "Come, you can." Lazarus got up out of that tomb, bound hand and foot. What does that tell us? He didn't come of his own power. He come by divine invitation. He couldn't move a muscle. Brother Scott Richardson used to say this often. He said, "Come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. If you do," my daughter asked me once, how can I be saved? I said, "What can I do?" And I said, "Don't do anything. If you do, you mess it up. Don't do anything. Be still and know that I'm God. Come by faith, looking, trusting." Yeah, that ark was the salvation of Noah and his family. Come by divine invitation. "O Lamb of God, I come. I come. God, by Your grace, I'll come. I'll come." You say, "Well, I thought You already come." Yeah, but I'm still coming. You see, we have been saved, we are being saved, we shall be saved. I'm still coming. The ark wonderfully, beautifully represents our atonement by the Lord Jesus Christ. Atonement really means at-one-ment. One with. That's what atonement really means. One with Christ. When Noah and his family were in that ark, they were in that ark. They were a part of that ark. Because when the wrath of God fell, when the rain came, the floods came and beat upon that ark, they were at one with it. They were inside it. You see what I'm saying? They were inside that ark. The same picture as we get when Christ died, I died in him. When he arose, I arose in him. When he ascended to glory, I ascended in him. In Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sitting now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's the purpose of God completed. And all who were in the ark were perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. I'm sure they heard it thunder. There was a window. I'm sure they could see the lightning. And they could see the torrents of rain of God's wrath that fell. But they were safe. And I had another thought. I just want to share this with you. I don't want to chase rabbits this morning. I want to stay on the subject. But can you imagine the fellowship and the communion and the conversation and the oneness of that family in that ark? This is not my notes. I thought about this when I first got up here. That family typifies the body of Christ, the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they were one as the wrath of God fell. They were one. They were united. They had one mind and one accord. They were thankful. They were happy. They were rejoicing in the grace of God and His provision that He'd made for them. And this is the way it should be. It must be with God's people. As we live in this world, wickedness all around us and sin all around us and even in us, we hug up to each other and tell each other of Christ. Oh, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful that I can lay my head on your shoulder and weep for love or for sorrow or whatever it might be. Because you understand, because God has revealed His salvation to you as well. And we can rejoice together. That we can come and meet together. We've come in this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. All who were in the ark were perfectly safe. And they had one song to sing. It probably wasn't Newton's Amazing Grace because he hadn't written it yet. But it's something to do with it. And I have no doubt, I'm using my imagination here, but I have no doubt that they sang praises unto God. And I have no doubt that they prayed. They were in that ark a long time together. And I imagine Noah, a preacher of righteousness, I imagine he preached the gospel to them often. And said, this is what's happening. You know what God's preachers do today. This is what's happening. When troubles come, when we worry and we're scared and we're troubled and anxious. And Noah said, now listen, family. You know this. But I'll tell you again. This is what God said. He said we'd be safe. It's going to be all right. We're in Christ. We're in Christ. Look. We're safe. Look at Him. The ark was planned, purposed, and provided by God. Long before the flood came, long before the first drop of water fell, God provided for the salvation of His own. The ark was not an afterthought with God. It was not hurriedly put together after the waters began to rise. It was something God planned and purposed long before. God determined the size, the shape, the material of the ark, He would determine who would be saved with the ark. It was designed, built, and stocked, as we read, to house a specific number of residents. And that's exactly what he provided. God determined where, how, and when the ark would be built. You know, he determined all of our salvation. He determined when the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the world. He determined what he would do, how he would do it, when he would do it. In the fullness of time, he came. And he did it. And when he finished it, he said, "It's finished. I'm done." God said, "I'm satisfied. I'm pleased." And all that are in Christ are safe. In just this same way, God planned and purposed the salvation of his people by Christ and his eternal purpose of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ was provided and set up in the purpose of God from eternity, long before the clouds of divine wrath begin to pour out its waters. You know, someday God's going to wind this thing up. Folks keep prognosticating and determining the end, the day and the time when God's going to come back, when the Lord's going to come. That's foolishness. This fact we need to remember, he is going to come. He's going to come in clouds of glory. He's going to wind this thing up. It don't look like it's going to be long, but I don't know. But I know this. Like I said in the beginning, my time is very limited. It's unbelievable, Bobby, that I'll be 60 year old my birthday. I don't think I'm over 30. Lonnie told me this morning he dropped his bullet and he said, you can bend down and get better than I can. I said, bending down, not the problem, getting back up. You know, I feel it caught up with me. I feel the effects of it. It's unbelievable. I'm 60 year old. Some of you, it's unbelievable. You're 60, 70, 80. Huh? Isn't it? It don't seem like we ought to be. Where'd time go? Just in a few days. Maybe a few hours. We're going to meet God. You won't be able to help me. You won't be able to go there through there with me. You'll just have to stand back. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to be you and God. Not your spouse, not your children, not your daddy, not your mama. And how our relationship is with God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to determine how it's going to be throughout eternity. Those folks in Noah's day, they waited till it started raining. They didn't believe what Noah said. They laughed at him. They ignored him. That old fool, it's never rained. Here he is building a boat somewhere between 450 and 500 feet long, around 80 feet wide, three stories on dry land. What a fool. What an idiot. But Noah kept preaching. He said salvation's in Christ alone. By God's grace, I'm going to keep preaching. I don't know what you're going to do, but by his grace, I'm going to keep preaching and telling you and me, come into the ark. He made provision for our salvation in his Son before the world began. Long before we sinned in Adam, the Lord God planned salvation for his elect in Christ. In Hebrews 10:5, this verse came to my mind. And it means more to me now than it did before I tried to outline this message. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Wasn't pleased with that. But a body that has prepared me. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world prepared bodily to save a people. He became flesh. He suffered in the flesh. He suffered in his mind and his soul and his spirit as well. But he suffered in this world in the flesh so that we wouldn't have to suffer the wrath of God. He became a curse for us. The plan of salvation. Now, if there's anyone here, or anyone hears this message, that maybe leans toward the plan of salvation being something that you do by way of cooperation, let me address this quickly, and I hope satisfactorily, and I hope that it will satisfy your questions. The plan of salvation is not a path you follow to find God. It's a path God follows to find His elect. It's an eternal plan. The plan of salvation is not the ABCs or the Romans Road. ABCs of salvation or the Romans Road. The plan of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Just one plan. And it works. Just one. God determined from eternity who He would save. And instead of me and you worrying and struggling over if I'm not one, what if I'm not one of the elect? You know, that's the first thing that normally that folks try to struggle with. I want to find out if I am one of the elect. Can I believe, Lord, help my unbelief? Do I trust You? Do I love You? Do I believe You? You know right this very moment if you do or not. I'll guarantee it. You know if you do or not. Do I believe? I'm not asking about how you feel. Do I believe God? Do I love His gospel? Is it my life? Is Christ my life? In the fullness of time, God provided His own dear Son to be the salvation of sinners. John 3:16, 1 John 4:9 through 10, Galatians 4:4 and 5. We'll not look at all these scriptures, but the ark was God's provision for Noah, and Christ is God's provision for sinners. As the ark was a provision for a pure, free grace, so is Christ the provision of God's grace. Remember that song Moose sang when he's here a few months ago? Hail sovereign love that first began, the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. That gave my soul a hiding place. Thank God. The ark which Noah built was an all-sufficient refuge for all who entered it. And may God, by His grace this morning, help us to enter that ark. What do I do? All I can tell you is this. And these two things, if you can do these two things, one is, like the Philippian jailer was told by Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The second thing I'd tell you to do is don't do anything. You say, well, I don't understand that. I didn't say you had to understand it. That's just something you do when God called you by His grace. You believe on Him and you don't do anything. That's just what God does for poor sinners like me. And we're standing here saying, what grace, what love, what mercy. It's just, you know, I was raised in a church that believed in backsliding. You know, you just get way back and be out of fellowship with the Lord for 15 or 20 years. I got out of high school on the 29th of May, 1967, left home the 30th. And I went to a Baptist church with my mom, always took me. And I was so glad to get out of Jamestown, Tennessee, and get out of South Main Street Baptist Church. I would put a tied a cedar tree behind me and drag the tracks out if I thought about it, so I couldn't find my way back. But I left. I was glad to get out of that mess. But you know, I came back years later. And you know what that pastor said? That Tommy's backslid. He's been out of the will of the Lord. You know, I went up the altar and renewed myself. And he made the testimony for me. Said, I'd done everything I could do that I had the means to do it that was wrong. I mean, I did. I lived like hell. Didn't even cuss. I mean, used God's name like it was a paper sack full of dung. I just didn't have any respect for God or nobody else. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just giving you an illustration. That preacher said I was backslid. I was still a Christian. I wouldn't have known Christ from anything. Didn't know the gospel in one ounce of truth. And there that idiot preacher's trying to convince me and other people that I was saved. But I found out, I said all that to say this. I just don't much believe in backsliding that concept anymore. Because the farther I go, the sweeter it gets. No. And I just expect it's going to get, honey, it's going to get better. That's what I'm expecting. I expect it's going to get better, and finally at the end of the road it's going to be so good that I won't care to go. They won't care to leave. It'll just be, Lord, that's what I look for. That's what I look for. No glory to me. But I expect when they got in that ark, they was right happy about it. And when you are brought to Christ, you're going to be happy. You're going to be happy. Let's bow our heads.